That's all right.
I'd like to call to order the regularly scheduled meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Anikas?
Here.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Here.
Mr. Gary?
Here.
Mr. Mead?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving to Section B, or excuse me, Section D. I don't believe we have any student or employee recognition. Is that right?
Correct.
So move to Section D, public communication, the first session. I believe we have one individual signed up to...
Actually, I'm not aware that anyone has signed up for public participation. Mr. Procyse is here. He is on the agenda to speak.
Gotcha. I think it's your turn.
All right.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jeff Procyse. I'm here representing the Wings of Hope Release Time Program. We are affiliated with the Mount Sterling First Church of the Nazarene. It's a group of local individuals, all private. And I'd like to give you an update on our release time initiative that we did earlier this year. I was here in December, and I presented what our proposal was to do a pilot. So we did that, and I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that. In addition, we've done a lot of administrative things. We've been working closely with the superintendent and the principals, and they've done a great job and represented the school extremely well. There's a lot of restrictions, as you know, about what we can and can't do. So we've had really good discussion, but our pilot and the subsequent work that we have done went extremely well. So we've had some fairly high expectations. We wanted to do 6 to 8 weeks with about a dozen kids. We ended up 2 weeks with 4 kids, but that was enough for us. So what we wanted to do was prove out all our processes and our procedures. So we actually did a practice run prior to the pilot. We have a group of senior citizens at our church that were part of our practice run. So we did everything in our practice run that we wanted to do in our pilot. So we went from the church out to the school, then back to the church, and then back to the school, really to get the timings right and to make sure that our volunteers knew what was expected of them. We did that with the practice run with our seniors. Then we did our pilot. We had 2 weeks of the pilot. We had 4 students, as I mentioned, that were part of that pilot. We actually came out here. Our time was limited, so we only had them at the lunch period, which was about 35 minutes. And our church, where we have the session, is in Sedalia, so it's about a 7 or 8 minute drive. So you can imagine getting them loaded 7 or 8 minutes there and back. We had about 10 minutes with the students. But to get them from here to there and actually watch what we were able to do with the religious study, the Bible study, was truly amazing. Our volunteers were really excited about it. The students were great. We fed them lunch while we were there. They had dessert. We had our youth pastor from the church do our teaching. It went really well. So even though we didn't have the length of time that we were looking for or the volume of students, what it did prove to us is that we can do this release time program. What we're looking for now is our volunteers. So we're going to talk to the church congregation fairly soon to get volunteers lined up for next semester. We'd like to offer this as an option for students next semester. The challenge for us, again, has been trying to coordinate this and get the communication out to the students, because we're limited, again, is what we can do as far as communication and working inside the school. But overall, the intent tonight was just to come here and share what we've done. In our eyes, our pilot was successful. And I'm looking forward to being able to continue this at the start of school next year. And also, part of the presentation tonight was, if you had any questions or concerns or anything that you'd like to ask about, feel free.
I have just one question, Mr. Procyse. First of all, thanks for coming in. Was this 9 through 12 students, or was it also extended to junior high?
So this was just 9 through 12.
Okay.
The initial intent was to do 9 through 12. We looked at the junior high, but based on their schedules, the teachers and administration are like, we can't do it.
Okay.
We appreciate the update. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us. I appreciate you.
Now move to section F, board work session.
Mr. President, we would like to have a work session this evening for the board to discuss what the board would like to do in terms of how they want to move, or how you want to move forward with regard to facilities. We have had a couple of meetings here over the last couple of months. One was a meeting just with the board that was broadcast on Facebook, but the board was here. We had some conversation, and then on May 22nd, I believe, we invited the public to come in and provide some information. We had a special board meeting that night and had some conversation. We have been able, the board and Mr. Musty and I, we've been able to have some conversation in the public eye with regard to what it is that we do want to do next. And so we are getting to the point where we do need to begin making some decisions. I would like to remind the board that if the board were to decide that they would want to move forward with a project and be on the ballot in November, we have to have our first resolution passed and in place, which I believe is to the county auditor. We have to have that to the county auditor by Friday, July 26th. And then we have to have, it's a very short turnaround, but we would have to have another resolution passed into the Madison County Board of Elections by Wednesday, August 7th. So that is a quick turnaround, but those are the dates by which we would have to have resolutions passed. We also are working with the OFCC. There are a couple of resolutions on the agenda tonight. One is rescinding the previous resolution B that we approved in May. We approved that with the goal of being on the August commission meeting docket for the OFCC. Given where we are at from a time perspective, the OFCC believes it would be better for us to get on the September docket. So we can go ahead and pass, if the board were to decide that they would like to go ahead and pass resolutions, we can go ahead and we can do that. The resolutions that we are passing tonight have to be back to the OFCC by June 28th, and then we would need to make decisions then about the scope of work, the scope of the project, what it is that we would like to do. And then we would have to begin dialoguing with the OFCC. I know these resolutions are due to the OFCC by June 28th. I'm not 100% sure what date they need us to make a decision on scope of work. They understand that we have a resolution that has to be passed by late July, but certainly somewhere in there we would need to start getting, they would need to start getting ready for that September commission meeting. We also, the USDA is still offering us their 3.625% interest rate on a bond issue through the United States Department of Agriculture and their Office of Rural Development. That is something that is available to us now. Probably will be available to us in the spring, but I know through email communication, they are beginning to get questions about when that money may be released. So those are things that we need to be considering as we move forward. The other piece is, the longer this were to go, obviously construction costs continue to rise. And there is, I think, a little bit of concern that if the scope of the project were to remain the same, that we might need to consider what that would look like in terms of increased cost for construction. So from when this all originally began a year and a half ago for the latest push. With that, I would like to let the board have some conversation, some discussion about what direction that you would like to have the district move in.
So kind of want to get your guys' feedback on that. obviously, the May 22nd meeting, I think, was helpful for us to get some community input. We really have to make a decision by the July meeting, so roughly a month to make the decision. So I'm interested in if your preference on potentially having a special meeting similar to the first one of those that we had here in the library, or just discuss it and make our decision at the July meeting. What do you guys think? What's your preference?
The only thing that I will add is if the OFCC tells me that they need information before then, so that they can get ready for the September commission meeting, I will let you know. So that's the one piece that is hanging out there that I'm not 100% sure on. When I spoke with them about these current resolutions, they said that they would just be able to do some catch up to us. But in order to get them on, in order to be on the September commission meeting agenda, they may want some information a little bit ahead of time. Before July 27th is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And once, if I get communication from that, I will certainly let the board know immediately.
I mean, personally, I would be in favor of discussing all options. I think I've made it very clear that we need to do what we can to get the kids out of the modulars. Safety purposes, longevity of them. I think we can discuss what we want to do at the high school, but I don't know what it looks like as far as Todd, and I know we've had a brief discussion about whether it's a K through 8 or a K through 5 and 9 through 12, whatever makes the most sense. But personally, I think we need to further the discussion, and whether we put it on the ballot or whether we want to use more solar revenue, I don't know what that looks like, and I think that's something that definitely needs to be discussed, and I don't know if this tonight's the meeting we need to do that or if it's a separate meeting.
I agree. I mean, we have to continue putting it on the ballot. It's great if we could get more input from, our community. I thought it was great that we had as many as we did the last time and we got some feedback, but it would be nice if we get more so we can make the right decision moving forward.
I agree with what everybody has just said. I think for me, when I left that meeting, it's great to have, we had I think three or four new people that had not been to recent meetings and posed some questions, and there was some good conversation. We've got, 6,000 or more voters in this district? Mm-hmm. And so now we've had, five, six people show up and want to talk. So for me, I'm just questioning, what is it that we need to do differently to get people engaged to truly talk with us about, for example, will people be more wanting to hear about, an income tax versus a property tax? That was something that somebody had brought up at the last meeting. But again, that was one person out of 6,500 or whatever that number is that mentioned that. Somebody had mentioned, could we, at that meeting, could we build a K through 8 and push off the high school, which is what Sean just mentioned. How do we get more? Because for me, I support putting something on the ballot, especially with these low interest rates that are being offered, and definitely mm-hmm. for this fall. I support that and want to see that. However, I would feel more comfortable voting for that, knowing what kind of support we would have from the public. And so I'm wondering, what other means do we have to engage people? Something I was wondering is there a way for the district to send out some sort of a flyer that has like a QR code on it with maybe three or four options of these are some possibilities. Like, this is what it would look like if it was a property tax, if it was a mixed property and income tax. This is a K-8 building, some different options, or we're just not willing to support anything at this time. If we have the majority of people that say something like that, I don't know that there's a reason for us to go on a fourth run this quick. In which case, it brings a whole different discussion, which is, we need a new building.
So I really like the way you're thinking. A couple of things. Number one, and I do know, I've heard from at least, one or two people some conversation about the idea of an earned income tax. That is certainly a valid discussion and is worthwhile having. The one thing that I am aware of is that the USDA financing would not be available to us if we were to go with an earned income tax. So that may be more appealing to the voters, but that is something that would we would not be able to utilize USDA funding for that. The other piece is the general rule is that you're not allowed to poll the public with regard to what they would support with something like this. I think if we were to do that, I think we would want to make sure the recommendation, as I understand it from legal counsel, would be that we would run that by the Auditor of State's office before it was sent to the public.
Sure.
So, because we don't want to find ourselves in a situation like another school district has, where they are facing some sanctions.
Yeah, I agree, Chad. And the reason I brought that up was just to see what the temperature was of the board on something like that. Surely it would have to be vetted by potentially the school's attorney, the Auditor of State, if it passed through those levels. And is that something we would be interested in? What do we think that if we are struggling to get a large amount of people to show up for such an important issue in person and talk about it, do we think that if we did something like a QR code, do we think that we could get a couple thousand people to click that with their camera, providing that it's okay to do? Do we think that we could get engagement from something like that? If we do, then I think we need to try to do that.
I think there'd be some, we'd get more people than we do having them come over here for an evening. I think that's maybe an easier ask to have them take a survey if it's an approved survey. I think what we're going to run into is the getting that accomplished if it's something we want to do prior to the end of, or prior to the July meeting. Worry about that time frame. But I'm with you. However we can try to get more feedback is what we're looking for.
Without that, I mean, is there any other suggestions that you guys, Chad, Todd, Mark, I mean, is there any other suggestions other than that? I mean, we've tried. I was part of the levy committee meeting before the board come along. It is so hard to get people engaged. I mean, we've gone to township halls, we've gone to the city council, we've gone to the coffee shops trying to get people engaged. If we don't get that engagement, ultimately the board has a decision to make.
I mean, if you recall, we sent out a postcard to everybody in the district,
in
the mailing area, actually, inviting them to that last board meeting that we had to discuss facilities. And as you said, you know, we had maybe five or six engaged individuals there to discuss it. One thing we heard was that, you know, people don't get the communications because we communicate through technology a lot, and they don't get it. Well, that's why we sent the postcard, to try to get more people there. So I wonder if we're going to lose some of the people on the QR code and the, you know, do it through your phone or, you know, computer, internet crowd, the people that aren't as savvy or able to be connected with in that way. We may get responses, but we may lose a certain demographic in those responses. It's always a struggle here to get engagement. And if I had the answer, we would have done it by now, because I do feel like we've tried everything, newspaper, radio, internet, Facebook, flyers, postcards, newsletters, quarterly newsletters. You know, we run the gamut on how we try to communicate with the public, and it never seems to be enough. So I don't know that that's the real issue, is for a lack of effort. At some point, the people have to be invested enough to come. You know, they have to take the initiative to show up.
Well, I don't want, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. I don't want anyone to think, though, that this is purely a Madison Plains issue. I hear from other administrators, you know, in other districts, and just through experience in other districts, it is difficult to get people to engage, no matter what the cause. People are very, very busy. And getting them to engage is very difficult. So I understand the, I certainly understand the frustration, but I don't want anyone to think that it's just a Madison Plains thing. I think it's a function of the world we live in.
But all the schools around us have managed to pass levies.
Correct.
To build new schools. So that is the little bit disappointing factor here, right? I know it's hard, we're all busy, but this is something that we are trying to do for our kids moving forward.
Right.
So it's a very important topic, and we want our community to be engaged. We want it to be successful. So anything that they can provide us, even how did they accomplish this, would be beneficial for us to understand, because obviously what we're trying is not working.
The only thing that I can think that might be a suggestion to, and not to put the onus on the board, but as the community's representative, you know, elected representatives to the board, you know, you have the ability to engage individually with your constituents, you know, and your, mm-hmm. your stakeholders.
Yeah.
So to try and do some outreach, you know, on your own, you know, whether that's through social media or through email engagement or telephone calls or at the local coffee shop, sometimes that going out one-on-one with people you know can, you know, one, get to the people you know, and then they get to the people they know, and you know, you start to spread the word that way, maybe through a you know, less structured means, and a more one-on-one type communication.
I think the other thing that could be considered, there are organizations out there that help school districts pass levies. Those organizations have to work specifically with the levy committee. But those organizations can help to guide what the levy committee is doing. I mean, they are, those organizations are knowledgeable and they understand, you know, how to get things done. Now that does not mean that they're always successful. I mean, mm-hmm. that they are not always successful, but they know how to do it. And perhaps that is something that needs to be looked into as well.
I guess some of the big decisions maybe that need to be made in the immediate future are, do we want to be on the ballot, mm-hmm. you know, in November, or do we want to wait until the spring? And then if we are going to do a partial build of some sort, is that part of a larger plan, or is it permanently investing in a piece of the facilities that we're going to continue to maintain? You know, if it's part of a larger plan, you know, the OFCC spoke briefly on how we can do a piecemeal project, you know, where we can do part of the project now, part of the project later, but all under one umbrella of an entire project through the OFCC. So those are some of the things I think in big picture maybe we need to try to wrap our heads around and get some answers to.
I have a question around the percentage that we are getting. If we make the decision not to be on the ballot in November and then to pursue May, do we still have these options to us? Because at some point, I think we talked about a deadline as to how many times they will allow us, or how a period of, I don't know, a couple of years, that they will continue to offer this low percentage to us.
Yeah.
Do we know what that deadline is?
We have two more attempts with the USDA with the USDA's percentage at most.
November and May.
So it's over in May.
If we
decide not to be on the ballot in November, it's going to be over
in May. Yeah,
got it.
Yeah. Because they've tied up those funds,
sure.
for us for an extended period of time, and they'd like to be able to release those funds,
yep.
to other organizations or municipalities that,
yep.
that are going to be able to utilize those,
okay.
funds.
I just want to make sure everybody understands that.
Yeah.
I've got a question about this building in particular. I mean, I know we've had conversations about keeping it. So some of the work that's being done right now, the auditorium, the gymnasium, any other, does that bring that cost of repair versus replacement down to a point where maybe the OFCC would fund some of the rehabs to this building? Because it wasn't a 60% repair versus replacement?
66.
Yeah. So we were at like 80 or 79 or 80. But so does some of the work that's going into this facility now, would that compensate and bring that number down?
I personally can't, Mr. Mead, I can't say for sure, but the things that we are doing, like with the gym right now, we're working on the gym floor, and we've updated the seating and the lighting and the auditorium, but because of the significant nature of some of the other needs, when you start looking at HVAC and electrical upgrades and things of that nature,
yeah.
I'm not sure that it would bring it down. I mean, ultimately, I'd have to have a contractor and the OFCC get together and have that conversation, but I have my doubts.
Okay.
Because they're not big.
Not to get too political on it, but my thought process has been all along that right now people's feelings are they're being taxed to death. It's the economy right now is just ridiculous, and I honestly think we're going to be hard pressed to pass anything at least until May. I think with presidential election coming up, people are going to look at it and go, okay, yeah, no, I don't want to dedicate part of my money to something when I don't know how much of it I'm going to have anyway. Me personally, I'm looking at it as, okay, my grandkids are going to start, well, one of them already has, but my grandkids are going to be going through these buildings. It's necessary, and I don't care what it costs me. But not everybody's going to look at it that way. That's the biggest thing I've heard is there's just too much going out, not enough coming in, and I can barely make ends meet and afford to live now. So I can't promise any more of it to anybody else until I figure out how it's going to go after November. I've talked to a lot of the people in my area, if you will, my direct constituents, the people that signed my petition when I ran, and those are the people that are telling me I just can't commit right now, can't do it. And I know we as a board, that's not something we're ready to completely accept, or I'm not anyway. But that's where we're standing.
I think one thing just to reiterate is that we've been pretty clear that whether we use existing funds, solar farm revenue or otherwise, for a project such as this, or we choose to use that, if we choose to use more of those funds for a construction project, we are ultimately going to be coming and asking the public for operating dollars sooner. So what we would not want is if the board were to decide we're going to do whatever we can on our own and finance it on our own in some way, in some smaller amount, and start to try and do some things, we are going to be asking the public then for operating dollars in the nearer future than what we would have been. So we don't want to, I want to be very clear with the public with that, that we would never try to build a house we can't afford, so to speak, and get it built and then not be able to operate it. Regardless, if we put more money towards facilities, we're going to be asking for operating dollars sooner. And so when the board or the public makes that decision, they need to bear that in mind, that based on what we do determines on when we will ask for operating dollars. The solar farm revenue is one of those things that can go a long way towards keeping people off of the ballot for operating dollars. And it has, you know, and the income tax has done that for us, kept us off the ballot for an extended period of time as well, that the public has voted in. So what we've heard a lot is that Madison Plains is constantly on the ballot asking for, you know, if there's a ballot, or if there's an election, Madison Plains is on the ballot. The reason we're on the ballot is because issues aren't passing, not because they are. There are districts out there that are passing issues that are always on the ballot because they are always asking for new revenue. We're only asking for things because they're not passing, mm-hmm. not because we're continually asking for additional funds and additional funds and additional funds.
Are we at 20 years we've passed one new money levy in that time frame? Is that accurate?
Well, the last one we passed was in 18. So just from that last one, we're approaching, 6-7 years And then before that, yeah, I think we're right at about 20 years, because I mean, I think you have the PI levy in between there, so if you count that, but as far as operating dollars, yeah, operating dollars is even older.
And we did have a time frame of 3 or 4 years where we were only on the ballot for for the PI levy renewals. So that was a previous board that made a conscious decision to try to be off the ballot.
Right, exactly. And,
you know, so just important to try to point those things out. But
I think along the lines, though, of what you're talking about, that we may have only passed new money once in 20 years, what is accurate is in the 52-year history of the district, there have been 13 bond issues on the ballot, and only one of them has ever passed, and that was in 1976. So in the 52-year history of the Madison Plains Local School District, the district has attempted bond issues to build facilities 13 times. Only one of those has ever passed, and again, that was in 1976. So,
Mr. Messina, I appreciate you pointing out kind of our goal is to communicate, because there's a give and take in whatever decision we make. You know, we contributed district funds towards, I believe, the last two levy attempts, and that lessened the amount of millage rate that we were asking for. But it, like you pointed out, it would mean for operating funds, we'd be back to the mm-hmm. voters. So all we can do is put that information out there as far as explaining what that means. I thought you did a good job of that at the May 22nd meeting, that you could literally put in the number and show exactly how much quicker we're going to be back at the ballot. So I think that's important information for us to communicate, because it's a give and take. You know, if we would make a decision to use projected income to build something, that's the positive. The negative is we'd be back at the ballot sooner asking for operating expenses. That May 22nd meeting, this meeting, the meeting we had before that, they're all meetings where we're being as transparent as possible, and we're putting it out there that if we, the more money we spend towards projected income, the sooner we will be back asking for operating money. And it just depends exactly how much, how soon, but we can run a calculator and tell you that exact answer. So I'm comfortable going down that road if we're clearly communicating what that entails and what that looks like, you know, moving forward. So
One thing that I would like to add to that is, as I've spoken to people, how other board members have, I've heard from several people that support Madison Plains in general. They've either come to school here, their kids have gone here, and they just think the scope of the project is too large. So I've heard that from several people. We know that there's a need for all of the grades here, but the immediate need clearly is the 50%, you know, 500 or 600 students that are in modulars. Both of my children are in modulars. And one thing that might be interesting to consider is, clearly the taxpayers have told us three times in a row by votes, every time the separation has increased, it's gone from what, 200 to 600 to 700 votes in a 13-month span or whatever it was. So less than that, maybe 10 months. So do we consider letting the public know that we are willing to change the scope of our project and focus on the immediate need right now? We need help building, you know, whether it's a K-8 or whatever it is, to get so that we have the high school that stays in this building, and at some point maybe the school needs to look at using future solar money for a remodel. But to put it on the ballot, I don't think that, you know, we're only, what, 4 months away or 4.5 months away from the election. I don't think we would lose much time if we chose to do that. But I think in conjunction with that, if we considered that, I think sometimes school districts shy away from saying like a cause and effect, right? If this happens and this happens, and they worry about if that's a fear tactic. And I don't think anybody here is interested in that. But I don't see an issue with saying if we can't get public support on this bond issue with a reduced scope to get the minimum amount done and a building built so that we don't have kids in trailers. I know as a father, I get terrified every time I see of a pop-up large storm coming through this area when I'm in Columbus, knowing that I have kids in trailers. But the cause and effect would be, in my mind, this is simply just a discussion point, right? But if this isn't supported in November, then this is what we are looking at doing, which is using future anticipated revenue, current revenue, or income, and we are going to look at building a building that's the size of this scope. And what that means is, potentially, we would have to come back for operating expenses instead of, you showed the forecast on multiple meetings. The public can go back and look at and see your PowerPoint presentations where you showed, I don't know if it was instead of in, you know, 16 years, it's in 12 years or whatever that is. But I think we put that on the flyer. And I would feel really good about that, even if we chose not to send out like something with a QR code for people to vote on. If we instead maybe considered just saying, we've heard you, you don't want to support a huge project. We think it's all very important, but certainly the whole thing isn't critical. There is a piece of it that is absolutely critical. And is that something we could consider? And then here is the effect of that. If this is not supported by the public at the booth in November, then we have to look at using the funds we have. And the effect of that is that, and we just tell people that now instead of the operating levy potentially in 15 years or 20 years, whatever it is, Todd, I don't remember, it would now come 5 years sooner. And then we move forward with making decisions that are best for the kids in this district, or at least having discussions about those decisions.
So the only concern that I have with something like that is 5 years down the road, if we make the decision to go and build a new high school, the cost are going to be a lot higher, right? And then we'll probably be sitting around saying, well, we should have approved this 5 years ago, right? Fannie and Howie shared some examples of that happening in other school districts, one of the TOLS meetings. And they built a school several years ago that was like $17 or $18 million, for instance. And then they came back 3 years later, and now it was going to cost them $32 million almost to build the same exact school. So that to me is a concern. I do understand that there is an immediate need and we need to address that. But if we do something like that, everybody needs to understand, you know, our community included, that we have to build something soon afterwards, and we're going to need that support to make it happen, right? We just can't let it go. And to me, that is a concern, because I think we're going to be asking for a lot more money in order to complete a project that we should have started from the beginning as one.
And I completely agree, Tula. Thinking back to the early 2000s when this process started with other administrations, other boards, and you know, if they're watching this now, they're thinking the exact same thing.
Yes.
The project was going to be
$20 million,
now it's 70.
Yeah.
So, but with that, I think at some point with three election runs in 10 months, it's something for me has to change pretty significantly. And I think that we would have to go after what the immediate need is and be transparent about that. There still would need to be either a remodel or a rehab in the future, but that part we can't, yes, it will be more expensive, no question, but I'd rather see us pursue a high school at a later date that's a little more expensive than us not be able to pass something at all, and we're still 3 years from now when construction costs have gone up another 6% a year, you know, trying to build a, get public support for something.
Yeah, I think just to be completely transparent with the public about all of this, and I think that's been the goal of the board and the goal of the administration throughout this process, is to let them know the cause and effect of the choices that they make, so that if something, you know, if we are not able to find finance facilities through a bond issue of any sort, and we choose to do it through a COPS issue or a, you know, a lease purchase arrangement that would be available to us, just that the public knows that we would use every available resource that we do currently have to accomplish the goal of improving the facilities here in the district, and that could result in an additional need for operating dollars at a sooner date, and that if those additional operating dollars were not to pass, then that would result in a loss of programming in some way. We've been through a budget reduction plan before. The board didn't want to go through it then. They did what had to be done until the income tax was in place and got us through that, but we would be back to a similar scenario if the operating dollars that were needed sooner were not to pass as a result of not of not utilizing a bond issue to finance facilities. So, again, whatever the board wants to do, whatever the public will support, we'll make happen. We'll do everything we can to help facilitate that. But just so that everybody's well-informed and aware of the consequences of those decisions. Because, like I heard at one of my conferences, if I could find a way to build you the building for free, I would. Mm-hmm. They're not out there.
Yeah.
Those solutions are not out there. So you're either going to have to pay for the facility or pay for the operating dollars. But we can't do both.
I don't feel like we're ready to make a decision tonight. You know, I think we have to at the July meeting.
So. And again, the resolutions before you here do not commit the board to any path. It just opens up the options available to us.
Right. Yep.
Keeps the options open. And then if I hear from the OFCC that they need information about scope before July 16th, I will let you know. So,
are you guys fine with that July meeting, just fleshing it out at the regular meeting? You don't feel a need for a special meeting or anything along those lines?
Unless needed by
well, the right, I mean just for us to...
When is right, our July
meeting?
That would
be specific July for 16th. A purpose.
16th.
It's the third Tuesday in July.
Yeah.
Tuesday, I think it's July 16th.
Is that a time where we decide what we want
well,
no.
to do, or we just want to say whether we're going to put it on the ballot?
That's the only hard deadline we're up against, because if we do decide we want to have something on the ballot in November, that end of July deadline would... preclude us from doing that potentially. But the other decisions, as far as what we do, that there's no hard deadline on that.
With what I see with or the notes I took, Todd, when you were speaking a few minutes ago, the 726 date, is the resolution that gets passed for that not quite as into the weeds as the one that goes to the Board of Elections in August?
Yeah, we're not officially on the ballot until that Board of Elections.
So the part where you have to kind of dwindle down to exactly what it is the ask is that still able to be molded, if you will, between like 726 and 87, or does that have to be, like if you're
no,
doing an A8 ask?
We have to give the county auditor that resolution so that they
okay.
set the rate.
That's what I want to understand.
And they have to have that time to set the rate before we pass the resolution to get on the ballot. So once they set the rate, that's pretty well locked in.
And the OFCC will need the information as well to prepare for that September commission meeting.
Yeah.
They wanted information by June 10th for the August meeting.
But again, they don't really care how we finance it. If we've got $20 million, you know, $30 million sitting in the bank for a partial build, which we don't, they wouldn't care. They would enter into the agreement to finance it that way. If we wanted to do an income tax, they'd finance it that way. If we wanted to do it through a bond issue, they'd finance it that way and work with us that way.
I know that they're asking questions about scope.
They want the scope, right. They want to know the size of the project, not necessarily how we're going to pay for it.
So are we going to do K-12? Are we going to do K-8?
Right.
K-5? You know, K-6, something along those lines. So those are decisions that we will have to make in the nearer term.
And those can be made independent of... somewhat independent of the resolutions that have to go to the county auditor. Of course, there's going to be costs tied to that. We're going to have to put forth a reasonable estimate of the project scope and cost to set those rates.
Will that be Fanning and Howie that helps with that part, or is that the OFCC?
No, that's the OFCC, and then we also have the ability, again, to add the LFI components to that amount, which we added, I think it was in that presentation, and I apologize, I don't have it up. But we added in a percentage mm-hmm. to the total cost to try and set those LFI amounts. And again, that gives you additional square footage, so you're not putting 25 kids in a classroom. It gives you additional finishes so that you could do a more efficient roof, for instance, or you know a peaked roof instead of a flat roof, or certain fit and finishes that you can do. It allows you for that larger gym space that above and beyond what the OFCC would co-fund. So those are all things that would go, the LFI amounts could go towards. But right now we have it in the calculator as a percentage of the overall project cost. And we have a pretty good idea of what the overall project cost would be based on our previous estimates from the OFCC. And their unofficial, I believe it's 7% increases in costs that they're projecting. So we have an idea of the project cost. So I don't think we're going to be caught in a position where we're not going to know what to ask for based on what the board wants to do. You know, so if the board wants a K-5 and a 912, we have a good idea of that cost. If they want a K-8, we have a good idea of that cost. I think what we're all kind of under the understanding is we're not going to be going back to the ballot for a PK-12.
I think I don't support that at this point, based on the results of the last three.
Hasn't supported that the last three attempts. So I mean, that's kind of why I say that. Whatever we do is going to be some piece of the overall puzzle, not the entire puzzle.
Are we all comfortable with that?
Yeah, I think with that information and kind of the agreement of that direction we might be heading, or at least discussing, to me, I would think that meeting on the 16th, whatever the next regular meeting is, I would think we'd be able to flush that out. And especially, Todd, if you're ready to do your calculator work and bring that up and us talk through some different things.
We can do that. And, you know, just to add to the income tax piece, you know, again, that loses that USDA financing. That rate continues to be advantageous. I don't know if anybody's kind of been following the market with the Fed and the rate cuts. They're not looking to do a rate cut until potentially the end of the year at the soonest, after the election date. You know?
And your calculator would be able to show the different interest rates.
The difference in interest rates between a 3.625 or a 5% or a 5.5 or a 4.75 or whatever it may be, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we can do that. But we are not going to get a better rate in the open bond market than the 3.625 that we're getting through the USDA.
I have another question around the OFCC. At one point, they said they would support a PK through 12 building. If we make the decision to do whatever other variation, are we still getting the full support from the OFCC?
For that partial project, yes. So if we did a K-8 or a PK-8 or a PK-5 and a 912, we would get the full co-funding of that 15% for those pieces of the project. What would be a little bit up in the air would be when we go back to complete the puzzle, if we chose to do that, say, and finish either the 912 space or finish a 7-8 building, what their contribution would be towards that part of the project.
Okay.
And our placement on, right now we have priority placement on receiving their funding.
Correct.
I think we would fall back in line, you know, and we wouldn't be a priority for the finish piece. So that's what made it so advantageous to try and attempt the PK-12,
yeah,
is because we had priority funding, we had great interest rates, all of these things kind of fell in place. The one thing that we didn't anticipate and haven't overcome in the last three attempts is a hostile, you know, economic environment, a hostile levy environment.
Yeah.
And again, to Mr. Eisler's point, it's not just Madison Plains, you know, that's experiencing this. Levies and bond issues are failing at a higher rate in
sure.
recent history than what they have.
Makes sense.
So, and that's all a testament to the current economic environment
sure.
we're in.
Okay. Appreciate the discussion. Give us any new information that you have, and we'll finalize something. Unless needed to be done sooner, we'll do it at the July meeting.
Okay.
Excuse me. Now we'll move to Section G, approval of board minutes.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the minutes of the May 14, 2024 regular meeting and May 22, 2024 and May 29, 2024 special meetings be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section 8, Department Reports.
No department reports this evening, Mr. President.
Thank you. Move to Section I, Superintendent Committee Reports.
The only committee that I have a report on is our Wellness Committee. They met on Wednesday, May 15th. There was discussion of the administrative review that will occur next year, particularly of our food service department. And then we talked a little bit about the current wellness challenge, which is what are you waiting for? And the idea that we should be drinking more water. So we extended a challenge to the staff to try to drink eight-ounce glasses of water every day. So there are a number of us who are working on that. So.
Cool. All right. Section J, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. A few items here. I have our May financial statements. We were in a good financial position. We were in line with our current forecast. I also have some transfers. These are end-of-year transfers, fairly typical that we do every year. The one transfer, the larger one, is the transfer of the farm rent to athletics. That's traditionally been what the board has allocated, how the board has allocated that farm rent to the athletic program. So you see that. You also see the board's support of the drug testing fund. Of course, we ask for payment for those, but you know, many students can't or are not required to pay or can't pay for that amount. So what we're left with is the board's support of that. So we have a transfer usually every year of roughly that amount, which mostly aligns with our free and reduced rate, you know, our percentage of free and reduced. Then we have some cleanup with our grants. These are just some areas where the grants were overspent more than what the grant was available, so the general funds then required to reimburse the grants for that amount that's overspent. Relatively small amounts to very small amounts with a penny. Again, compliance, we just have to do it. We have to balance those out. So that's why you see a transfer of a penny. And then I think that is all of the transfers there. So unless anybody has any questions on those transfers.
Can you explain to me the farm rent that goes towards?
So
explain that a little bit.
The farm rent, the district owns the farm.
Sure.
And the FFA farms the farm.
Yep.
And the FFA reaps the proceeds of the harvest of that farm and then pays the school district rent proceeds that we charge them, and we set that amount at $20,000. And then the board could choose to keep those funds in the general fund or allocate them in other areas. Traditionally, because our athletic program does not receive as much support as maybe some other districts, that we've always allocated that $20,000. And it's more to prop up the gate proceeds, that, you know, if we have smaller gate proceeds, that to help fund all of the programs there in the athletic department. So we've traditionally done that. I think during the budget reduction period, we may have kept it in the general fund.
I think one year went to the band, maybe.
One year, maybe.
Yeah,
the band.
But for the most part,
uniforms.
Athletics.
So yeah. I wasn't sure where.
Sure. That's what that is. We also have the amended appropriations. We always do an end of the year kind of cleanup and check up on our end of year appropriations. The only thing really of note are the grants got some additional reallocations there within the grants that came through the CCIP, our grant funding. So those amounts had to be accounted for. But other than that, I think we're, you know, within about $100,000 of where we wanted to be, that we, you know, adjusted those amounts. The temporary appropriations for next year include everything except for the grants, next year's grants, because those are still in draft status. We haven't finalized those budgets yet. As soon as those get complete, we'll add the grants and then finalize the permanent appropriations by, usually we do that in the September meeting. Sometimes we do it sooner, but it has to be done before October 1st. But the temporary budgets, right now, the general fund aligns with our forecast, except it is higher than what our forecast was. It's higher by about $350,000 in the general fund, and that is due to the curriculum that we purchased. We didn't have a full idea of the quote on that curriculum until after the forecast was filed. So when that came in, it is a substantial amount. It's $350,000 roughly for that curriculum. That's the science of reading curriculum and the math curriculums and things that we were required to purchase. We did receive funding from the state, around $57,000, to offset that cost. So there is some relief there for that additional expense. And then also we were able, Ms. Kreitz was able to negotiate with the vendor to allow us to pay that invoice over a two-year period. So even though we've got the full appropriation next year, we'll be able to only pay out as far as cash out of the bank, we'll be able to pay it in halves over a two-year period. We also purchased, and I believe, tell me if I'm wrong, I believe it's a five-year program, so we purchased all 5 years of this curriculum. So it should last us. We don't have to make this large expense every year or every 2 years. It should last us a little longer than that. But that is the one change I wanted to point out from the forecast. It's about a $350,000 change, and it's largely due to that curriculum that the quotes came in. It still is within less than 1% of what our estimates were So we're still well within our budget. It has no material impact on our forecast moving forward. So that's why I don't believe we need to file a new or amended forecast, because it doesn't affect our solvency throughout the life of the forecast. If that makes sense. Those are the items I have: the financial statements, the transfers, the amended appropriations for FY24, and the temporary appropriations for FY25. If there aren't any other questions, that would conclude my report. Okay.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items J6 and J9.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas?
Yes.
Mr. Heath?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section K, Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of items for discussion this evening. I am required by law to provide to the board a report on bullying twice every year. I try to do it at the end of each semester, so January and June. And so given that this is the June meeting, I have the second semester report for you. At the K-6 building, we had six reports of alleged bullying. One of them was verified, five of them were unverified. And at the 712 building, we had seven incidents of alleged bullying. Two of them were verified, five were unverified. The only other item I have for discussion items this evening is simply to let the board know that the tolls report is there. So that is there for your review. But in terms of discussion items, that's all I have.
Thank you. Now we'll move to Section L, Policy and Governance.
And just a couple of items there. We have a second reading of a couple policies, and then we have the Madison Plains Student and Parent Handbook for the 2024-2025 school year.
Okay. Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve policy and governance items L2 through L3.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zedekas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section M, Business.
In a very lengthy business agenda this evening, we have a number of requests for overnight field trips. There are a number of just a number of business items there, just various contracts with various various companies for work that is to be done over the course of the school year that is upcoming. And I would note as well that here in the business section, the consent items are numbered 1 through 20. The two OFCC resolutions, I'm asking for a separate vote on those. So that would, those would be items M21 and M22.
Okay. Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve business items M2 through M20.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zedekas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay. So then we would need to move to M21 and M22.
Do we need to read the full resolution?
I don't believe it's necessary.
It's not necessary.
Okay. So, Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following school district board resolution. Resolution rescinding requests for the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission to establish a new scope, estimated basic project cost, and local share in the exceptional needs program lapsed as presented below.
Second.
Discussion. Mr. Eisler, just to, if you would recap how this doesn't tie us to anything, this just keeps our options open moving forward.
These two resolutions, this one and the next one that we have, we are not committed to anything. This simply allows us to keep our options open as a district with regard to how we would choose to move forward with regard to facilities. So yes, this does not commit us to anything. This first resolution, we are simply rescinding the previous resolutions that have been passed. The next one simply allows us to get a new scope of work put in place in case we decide to move forward.
All right. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following school district board resolution, Resolution B, requesting the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission to establish a new scope, estimated basic project cost, and local share in the exceptional needs program lapsed as presented below.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Excuse me.
Move to Section N, Personnel.
And a number of personnel items there this evening. Some updated motions from a couple past agendas, just correcting a couple of things. There are some resignations there for staff. We want to thank all of those who have served. We are grateful to them. And then there are a number of resolutions as well seeking to employ various staff members for the upcoming school year. And then the very final one is with regard to supplemental contracts for the coming school year.
Okay. Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items N2 through 17.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Don't believe we have anything for Section O, donations?
No, sir.
Does anyone have anything for Section P, new business? All right, so we'll go to Section Q. Excuse me, the second public communication section. I don't believe anyone signed up for that. Do we have anything for executive session?
We do.
Okay. I move that we enter into executive session at 8.02 p.m. for the purpose of the following items allowed under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G. Section 1, to consider the employment of a public employee and to consider the compensation of a public employee.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. We're in executive session.
Our next regularly scheduled meeting is Tuesday, July 16th at 7 p.m. here in the high school library. There will be no action taken after the executive session.